Samuel Studios on this Thursday afternoon. Ward is down at Leo Buckley Stadium getting ready for high school football. The Temple Wildcats in action tonight. That game over on our sister station, Fox Sports Central Texas. That is what, a 6:30 pregame, Ward, with a 7 o'clock kick?
That would be correct, sir.
All right, good deal. Guessed right. It's a 4:35, and we welcome into the program R.J. Ochoa from Blogging the Boys in ESPN San Antonio. Okay, R.J., first things first, settle a little debate between Ward and I. I think we have a conspiracy theory going on with Jalen Smith. There's more to this story than we just don't want him to get hurt and have to pay $9 million next year. Agree or disagree?
I mean, I wouldn't know. I don't know if I'd say it's a conspiracy theory as much as the Cowboys are ready to be completely frank and honest about that. but yeah, I mean, he's a walking, talking, you know, tackling liability at this point, and you got to be responsible. You got to protect your own self-interest. Sometimes the NFL comes down to that. But I know a lot of people thought that maybe there was an off-the-field thing that led to this decision this week, but it really is just a matter of, you know, wanting to get away from him before the 2022 season, and they can't take that risk, you know, throughout the rest of 2021.
But why now? Why week four? I mean, was there something special about now this week? I mean, where's that going?
Well, I certainly believe that they didn't want to risk it, right? Because if he gets hurt, you know, he guarantees his salary for next year. And so you don't want to have that be the case. I think he's probably their fifth linebacker at best when all of their linebackers are healthy and available. And that hadn't been the case prior to now. Keanu Neal obviously had been on the COVID list for the last 2 weeks. Micah Parsons has not really been playing a ton of linebacker. And so things are kind of stabilizing and, you know, regressing to the mean where now the Cowboys can actually play the linebackers that they want to play at the linebacker position. He's no longer as necessary. And you could say that maybe they walked away with a little bit of depth or let a little bit of depth walk away rather. But I think it's worth it to them to not be on the hook or not potentially be on the hook, not be holding their breath every time he's on the field.
When you look at them releasing Jalen Smith at this point in the season, is there any blowback from the locker room or anything like that? Or is it not really a situation that those players worry about, even though he was just voted team captain?
You know, I honestly don't think there's much of that. Jalen would be the first person to tell you that he's a leader on this team. And I certainly, you know, believe that he was well-liked and well-received and admired and respected in different capacities. But, you know, I don't know that he is the straw that breaks the camel's back, so to speak. Now, you know, I think we did see that last year. You know, Dak Prescott gets hurt, different situation, obviously, but is no longer available to kind of be the team's metronome week in and week out. And we see them crumble. And Jalen couldn't really lead them in that sense. And, you know, Jalen's been an awesome person, a great person, you know, a great humanitarian, great in the community. But he had some moments, some public moments that I think I would imagine even he would want back. You know, last year when the Cowboys 49ers game was taken off of Sunday Night Football, he very, very infamously said, "Oh, well, if Jerry Jones isn't mad, then I'm not mad." And that was something that really upset a lot of Cowboys fans. And so that's not a locker room thing, but I think that they'll miss their friend, but I think it's just kind of par for the course as far as business in the NFL is concerned.
Were you surprised then that Green Bay pounced on him so quickly?
Not really, when you consider, obviously, that Matt LaFleur was the quarterback's coach at Notre Dame during Jalen's sophomore year there. That's so often how the NFL works, right? It's a big business of who you know, and they have a huge need at the position to the point that even Jalen looks like a serviceable option to them. I will be stunned if he plays significant snaps for them, sees significant time, but the reality, you know, it's difficult because he has been such a darling for the Cowboys and he's said and done all the right things. But the reality is when he's on the field for your defense, other teams are going to pick on him. We've seen that multiple different times. Multiple offenses have targeted Jalen Smith and have had success against Jalen. And so if the Packers want to do that, as somebody who, you know, wouldn't lose a lot of sleep if the Packers start to lose some football games, I'm okay with that.
When you look at this offense and as successful as it's been, is Kellen Moore in a stride now that we haven't seen from him? Because it really looks like that he can, I hate to say it, but he can do no wrong right now with this play calling. He has got the answer for every situation right now.
Yeah, and I think that that's really kind of developed into an interesting, you know, narrative right now. Because you're right. I don't know that there's anyone who's willing to slam Kellen for anything. And not that there's, you know, a long list of transgressions that he's made. But, I mean, Kellen's red zone offense hasn't been that great. You know, the Cowboys offense has been given the ball by their defense with 37 or less yards to go four times this season. And they only have two touchdowns. And so, you know, that's a 50% success rate, which I think it would take more often than not. But, you know, we're acting like this dude walks on water a lot, and he does in a lot of senses. But I think that, you know, this is such an interesting place where the Cowboys staff is at, where Kellen's getting all the credit for the offense. Dan Quinn's getting all the credit for the defense. And I just, you know, I think people are so hesitant. It's a really fascinating thing. Nobody wants to credit Mike McCarthy. Everybody wants to act like he's just kind of along for the ride. I think Kellen is a star, you know, coach in the making, obviously in the moment. Probably going to be a head coach much sooner rather than later. But I think that that's a dangerous and slippery slope to kind of, you know, tilt on, that he can do no wrong, because when the red zone offense isn't there and you lose a game by 3 points, you know, whose head is going to roll there?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned McCarthy, but look, he's the guy that brought Dan Quinn here, and he's the guy that retained Kellen, you know, as the OC. So you better give him some credit. If you're going to knock him when they don't play well, you better give him credit when they do play well. I mean, that's just kind of how head coaching works, isn't it?
Yeah, I certainly think so. And I don't want to say that Dan Quinn hasn't been an awesome defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, because he has. I actually wrote something about this. I turned it in right before I picked up the phone with you guys. But, you know, the Cowboys have 22 turnovers in their last 8 games. Everybody's, you know, all in love and throwing bouquets because they have 10 in their last 4 games. They actually had 12 in their final 4 games last season, which predates Dan Quinn. And, you know, if you compare what Mike McCarthy's done just since he's gotten to the Cowboys, which is, even that's a small sample size, let alone this season. I mean, he has always talked about how turnovers are such an important thing, and that's an obvious thing. But, I mean, the data backs that up. He has taken the Cowboys to a place of generating turnovers that they weren't at for a long time prior to 2020. And so I certainly want to credit Dan Quinn there. And Mike McCarthy's an offensive coach, and so I think a lot of people feel like all of the defensive responsibility falls on Dan Quinn. But he is having an impact one way or another, whether people see it or not, whether it's evident on game days or in his press conference. I mean, Mike McCarthy might be one of the best coaches in the NFL right now, which is a sentence that if you say on Twitter, certainly gets you some attention.
are teams going to quit throwing at Trayvon Diggs?
I have to believe so. I mean, I don't think, you know, maybe not Daniel Jones, because that dude is his own kind of special, but I just have to imagine that Trayvon is established himself that much. And, you know, I don't know that he never gets a pass thrown his way ever again, but I think, you know, his reputation is what it is at this point. And I think that, you know, this isn't week 2 or week 3. I mean, there's a lot of film now, obviously, to kind of support the idea that Trayvon is this ball hawk. And so, you know, that's going to force the Cowboys to leave Anthony Brown in moments where he's going to have to shine. And I absolutely expect that opposing offenses, quarterbacks, offensive coordinators want nothing to do with Trayvon Diggs, because why would they? I mean, you know, I don't think this was, like, properly hyped up. He had 5 interceptions, obviously, for the first 4 games. Nobody in the history of the NFL has ever had more than that. The record for most interceptions in the first 4 games of a season is 5. So he is literally, you know, operating at the most elite level to this small point in the season than anybody ever has.
Giants this weekend, are the Cowboys sitting offensively in a good place to where you think that this is going to be another game that the running game is going to take over? And of course, they'll use the passing game. There's no doubt about it. But to see Zeke, what he's been doing in the past couple of games, has he got another game under his belt that's looked like this?
It's been a really long time since Zeke looked as good as he did against the Panthers. And I think that is, I don't want to take anything away from Zeke, but kind of a result of just, you know, when it rains, it pours. When the offense is good, everybody's good, everybody eats. I mean, Zeke is playing out of his mind and playing at an elite level. It's, you know, it's easy to say, but it's probably been since 2018 since Zeke has played at this level. That was obviously the last year that he led the league in rushing. But when you think about it, I mean, it does kind of make sense. I mean, when you factor in that, you know, entering the 2019 season the very next year, he held out, you know, and you could certainly place some blame, if you want to call it that, on his shoulders. And then 2020, nobody gets a normal offseason. He actually contracts COVID himself. And so he had a normal offseason for the first time since that particular year. And so, I mean, and even if you go the 2 years prior to that, 2017 was not a normal offseason for him because there was the will he, won't he be suspended. And, you know, 2016, he did have a normal offseason, and the guy, you know, set the NFL on fire. And so he generally performs well. I guess that that's also a small sample size, but when he's had a full offseason. And so I think he's absolutely going to be there as a weapon for the Cowboys. But the good part is that unlike those times, unlike those days, they're not reliant on that. He's just another infinity stone in the overall gauntlet that Mike McCarthy's wearing on his hand.
How close is Kelvin Joseph to coming back? And when he does, do you think he'll start instead of Anthony Brown?
I don't know that he'll start right away just because, I mean, it will be his first taste of NFL action. And Mike McCarthy has, you know, been coy about when everyone's going to return. And, you know, unless guys are back, he likes to dance around those subjects a bunch of different times. But I think he'll work his way in. And I think that, you know, because if we do live in a world where teams stop throwing at Trayvon Diggs, I don't know that it would be responsible to have Kelvin Joseph be out there and just, you know, kind of have this baptism by fire sort of situation for him as far as his first NFL experience. But I do absolutely think that he's going to be involved. I think he could supplant Anthony Brown before season's end, but I think it'll be a more gradual learning process for him.
What do you think the game plan from the Giants will be with the Cowboys? Are they gonna come in and turn Jones loose and just let him cut loose and throw the deep ball? I mean, how do they attack this Cowboy defense?
Well, I have the great privilege of having seen many Jason Garrett football games, and so I'm very confident in terms of what their game plan is going to be, particularly because the Giants are coming off of a game where Saquon Barkley played well. And so the Jason Garrett way is to have talked himself into yet again that the key to this game, the key to stopping the Cowboys offense is to just bleed the clock. That's what Jason Garrett wants to do. He wants to put together long, methodical 14, 15 play drives that take 8 to 9 minutes off the clock that end in a touchdown, and then go cross your fingers, you know, light some candles on the defensive side and hope that you get the ball back with an opportunity to do it again. That's how they're going to play. And, you know, they'll end up in a 3rd and 12 or a 3rd and 7, and it will be because they've run the ball on 1st and 2nd down. And so they'll demand that Daniel Jones be perfect on those throws. And that's not realistic for any quarterback, let alone Daniel Jones. And so that will happen. They'll end up punting. They'll end up turning the ball over. And the Cowboys will probably score a lot of points and take Saquon out of it. Because at that point, you know, say it's, I don't know, 27-14 with, I don't know, maybe a quarter and a half left, Jason Garrett's going to have to abandon the run. Maybe the Giants make it a little close. Maybe there's a backdoor cover. But I absolutely, with all my heart, believe that Jason Garrett's going to try to shorten this game with his star running back.
Well, the reason I ask is, you know, the Cowboys have given up 19 or 20 plays of 20 or more yards. And when Daniel Jones is successful throwing the football, it is a deeper ball.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, conventional wisdom would suggest that that be an area that you focus on. But again, you know, a decade of my life has been spent, you know, watching and learning who Jason Garrett is. And so, I mean, maybe he comes out and adjusts. But, you know, this is actually, I really am interested in this. This is kind of the first Jason Garrett against the Cowboys game we're going to get. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but, you know, Dak Prescott got hurt in the third quarter of the first one last year. And so I don't say that let the air out of the building, but that kind of took away from, you know, any Garrett-related narrative that was going on. And then, you know, they played in week 17, and Dak wasn't there with Andy Dalton. I mean, that hardly counts as far as I'm concerned. So this is the first tried-and-true opportunity to see, you know, the Cowboys reawakened against their former head coach. And so I hope they go out there and hang 50 on him and make it difficult to run the ball.
All right, Jed Choa, Blogging the Boys at ESPN San Antonio. Hey, what are you working on for Blogging the Boys right now?
Well, I mentioned that article. We looked back at every 8-game stretch, because that's the point in time I mentioned that the Cowboys have had since 1990 to kind of see how turnovers, you know, related to different 8-game stretches. And the Cowboys are experiencing, from a turnover perspective, one of the best 8-game stretches since 1990. Now, generally, there's some regression there. It's hard to always get more and more turnovers. And so you have to figure that the bottom's going to come out a little bit soon. But that's where the Cowboys offense will kick in. So just a study at that and kind of determining just where this Cowboys run ranks and how sustainable it is moving forward. Because, you know, the good times, we want to keep them rolling. And we're doing everything that we can to prove that that's going to be the case.
RJ, as always, thanks, man. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
See you later.